Welcome to the Stats Modeling the World Instructors Podcasts. 10 points in under 10 minutes. We hope you find them helpful. Hi, Paul Velleman, discussing Chapter 27. Chapter 27 returns to associations between quantitative variables, which we first encountered in Part 2. Now we examine the regression model with its underlying assumptions and conditions, so we can do hypothesis tests and confidence intervals for the slope. Here are 10 important points to consider. 1. Start with a review of the key regression concepts from chapters 7, 8, and 9. Students should remember scatter plots, correlation, R-squared, regression models, residuals plots, slope, predictions, and how to interpret all of these properly. 2. You also may want to review the idea of a sampling distribution. Remind students about the two sampling distribution models from chapter 18. Here, we're interested in examining how slopes of regression lines vary from sample to sample. Consider the heights and weights example we used in the earlier unit. Have students imagine the scatterplot of weight versus height for the entire population, a dense cloud of points. We must believe that for this population there is an ideal line that captures the true association between height and weight. Data from any sample produces a line that approximates this true line. Other samples would also produce such approximating lines, each with a slightly different slope. Slopes, then, vary from sample to sample. Each slope, B, is an estimate of the true slope, beta. We need to examine the variability of the Bs in order to do inference about the slope. 3. It turns out this distribution of possible sample slopes has a t-model with n-2 degrees of freedom, provided always that certain assumptions are satisfied. Students won't find this very hard to believe, although you may have to discuss the n-2 degrees of freedom. Before, we estimated one mean and had n-1 degrees of freedom. Now, we've estimated a slope and an intercept, so we have n-2 degrees of freedom. 4. As always, each assumption comes with a corresponding condition to check. Now there are 4 to discuss, and we need to deal with them in order. First, we believe there's an underlying linear relationship between x and y that we can model with the least squares line. We check the straight enough condition with a scatter plot. If the relationship is straight enough, we can find the least squares line. Second, we believe the errors, the distances of the points from the ideal line akin to residuals in the sample, are independent. That one person's heavier than expected weight doesn't tell whether another person might be heavier or lighter than their height might predict. We check the residuals plot for random scatter. Third, we check whether the scatter of the residuals is the same for all x values. In other words, we want the variability of weights to be the same at each height. This assumption is called homoscedasticity, a term students don't need to know, but they love the word. We can examine the residuals plot for uniform spread, checking whether the plot thickens. Finally, we believe that at each value of x, the y's follow a normal model. For example, a normal model describes the weights of all people who are, say, 60 inches tall, or any other height. Moreover, we believe that the means of all those normal models lie on the line relating y to x, so this can be seen as a statement about the distribution of the errors around the ideal line. As long as the residuals are homoscedastic, that is, they have the same variance, we can lump them all together and look at a histogram of the residuals. Or we could look at a normal probability plot to check whether their distribution really does seem to be nearly normal. 5. Help students understand that if there is no association between two variables, the true line has a slope of 0. That's where we got our null hypothesis that beta equals 0. 6. Interpreting confidence intervals for B poses new challenges because it combines the language for explaining slopes of regression lines with all the problems of language for confidence intervals. We end up with statements like, we can be 90% confident that each additional inch of height is associated with an average of between 5.5 and 7.2 additional pounds. Students may need some extra help with this. 7. Help students understand what the two standard errors reported in the regression output mean. The first of these is S. S estimates sigma, the standard deviation of the y values at any particular value of x. Or, looking at it another way, S is the standard deviation of the residuals, describing how far a typical point lies from the regression line. 8. The regression output also reports the standard error of the coefficient, in other words, the standard error of the slope. We have only one sample. Other samples drawn at random from the same population would yield other regression lines, each with a different slope. The standard error of B estimates the standard deviation of these slopes. 9. Again, we advise against using the terms dependent variable and independent variable. Not only do these terms tread close to the inappropriate concept of causation, but we have by now made so much of checking for independence that to introduce that term for an entirely different context and meaning can only be harmful. Speak of response variables and predictors. 10. Emphasize reading computer output. That's the way most people find and encounter regressions, and students need to understand the concepts and be able to interpret regression output from software packages. It's probably best not to distract them from these central issues with scary formulas. We provide generic output examples that look sort of like most major statistics packages, but match none of them exactly. Thank you very much. This concludes our discussion. We hope you find it helpful.